You got any Lecrae fans? Yeah. Well, we actually got to go to a Lecrae concert. How many of you guys went to that? It's about a month ago. For those of you who weren't there, I just want to describe this concert a little bit. For those of you there, you're going to be like, yeah, it was crazy. We get there. Hey, the lights went out. Hello. They had lights, so that was good. But check this out. Whoa, just like that. Lights came on. Lecrae was on. Here we go. But we get there. They had some good bands. And man, when Lecrae came out, like the energy in that place was crazy. Everything just went black. These strobe lights started to come out. Smoke came out. And all of a sudden, you have Lecrae, and he's like 6'10". I mean, this huge guy. Looks like he'd be like a professional athlete. Comes out just going nuts on the mic, and I'm setting like three people in front of him. And I'm just like, you know, like I'm just so, and here you have 1,000 people just cram-packed in this floor of the gymnasium, and everybody's just going nuts. I mean, they're Red Bull on Jesus, just crazy, jumping around, going nuts. Everybody's like, man, I love Jesus, Lecrae, he's awesome, da, da, da. And he's just going nuts. You got smoke, lights, high energy. And this right here is one of my favorite Lecrae songs. And the reason it's my favorite is because I think this was happening. Here's Lecrae. He's going to all these towns, all these cities. Everybody's coming together. They're all hyped up. They're pumped up, ready to go. And then he asks the question, what happens when the music stops? Because you've all been at a place like that, a concert, Christian concert, everybody's going nuts. It's like the cool thing to do to love Jesus, or you go to a camp experience. It's like, yeah, this is awesome. I'm sold out for my faith. I'm ready to go. And he asks the question, okay, what about when all the hype's not there? What happens when the music stops and you leave the concert? He says, what do you do then? And he asks the question, will there be fellowship? Will there be discipleship? Will you open your Bibles after the music stops? So our question tonight is that question. What happens when the music stops? And what I mean by that is here you are, man, you've come to Impact Service. There's probably, just looking, over 100 of you high school students. You're all here. You're fellowshipping. Everybody's cool. It's a cool thing to do to love Jesus. Worship just happened. You know, we got high energy lights. Everything's going on. But what happens when this ends? What happens when the music stops? What happens when you scatter? What happens when you go home? Because that's what really matters. Because Lecrae's point is, look, we can go all these places, have a good concert, get everybody hyped up, but if it doesn't lead to people living radical for Jesus, guess what? We're wasting our time. And if we come here and all we are doing is doing church, guess what? We're wasting our time. Because it's not about us coming and doing church. It's about us being the church. There's a huge difference. Man, we can do church all day. This is us doing church. But the question is, when you guys leave here, are you the church? Are you sold out to the mission that Jesus has given you? So the question is, what happens when the music stops? What happens when you go home tonight? What happens tomorrow when you go to school? Because that's where the real test to see if you're a follower of Christ is. It's not tonight, it's tomorrow when the music stops. And we're going to see what happens in the book of Acts, when the music stopped. We're going to see what they did. If you guys were here a few weeks ago when Scott Pyle taught, there was a persecution that came upon the church. You had this guy named Saul, and Saul didn't like Christians. He didn't like the church, and he caused this great persecution. He started killing people, started putting people in jail. And it said that the church, this huge, man, this body, thousands of people, this huge party, this huge celebration, all of a sudden did what? Does anybody remember? They scattered. They scattered. Everybody went every which way because there was person didn't know where to go, so they just ran, got out of town, and only the apostles stayed. So the question is, what did they do when they scattered? What did they do? Well, if you have your Bible open to Acts chapter 8, go ahead and get there. We're not going to stand yet, but go ahead and open up your Bibles. Acts chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible, there's one under your chair, hopefully, page 916. If you want to go ahead and grab for that. Acts chapter 8, look with me in verse 4. This is amazing. I love what it says that those who scattered, what they did. Here's what it says in verse 4. It says, now those who were scattered, okay, big party in Jerusalem, big impact service, explosions happening, Cody's leading worship, everything's going good. We've got air hockey tables, ping pong, coffee, fellowship, everything's going good. Then they scatter. Things happen. They run. They go to different places. So it says in verse 4, and those who were scattered went about what? Preaching the word. You see, that's what we should do when we scatter. And that's what I want you guys to see more than anything. And we can come here and we can be excited and we can get on fire. That's what we should do. But if it doesn't translate to when you scatter, when you go home, then we're wasting our time. So my question is, what happens when you scatter? What happens when you go to another town? What happens when you go to school tomorrow? Are you going to be like these people? When they scattered, guess what they did? They went about preaching the word. Now, why did they do this? Have you ever thought about that? Like, why did they keep preaching the word? I mean, here's Jerusalem. This big movement is happening. It feels like God's here. Everything's going good. And then all of a sudden, that gets disrupted. Bad things are happening. We're leaving. That must be over. Now I'm going to go play Xbox. I'm just going to, join a team of some sort and try to be the best I can. Just forget about all this Christian stuff. I'm going to do my own thing, get a career, marry a nice girl, have a family, buy a house, relax, vacation in Egypt somewhere. Here they got pyramids, as part of these people are thinking. It's like, this is over. We're done. That's not what they did. Even though they were scattered, they were away from the apostles. Now think about this. This wasn't Brother Ricky here, okay? This is not like the preachers and the apostles. These are the normal church people are scattered everywhere. And you know what they find themselves doing? Preaching the word everywhere they go. And I think the reason they did that is because they remembered the mission. So they had a mission. Man, these people had a mission that they gathered around, okay? We're going to call it for tonight the 1-8 mission, all right? Maybe that can be catchy. Maybe you can remember that, the 1-8 mission. Now, what in the world does 1-8 have to do with the mission? Well, if you'll turn back a few pages, go to chapter 1, verse 8. There you go. Find that. Turn a few pages back. Go to chapter 1, verse 8, and listen to what it says. Somebody, the first person there, read it out loud, strong and boldly. Anybody? All right. So, here they had the 1-8 mission from Christ. Here's what he said to him. Guess what, guys? I'm going up. I'm going to be back to get you. Here's what you need to be doing. You need to wait because the Spirit's going to come. He's going to empower you. We saw that happen. They're empowered now. They got the Spirit. And guess what they're supposed to do? Go and be his what? His witness. To be his witness. Man, what does a witness do? If I saw a murder, they call me to a trial and they say, our first witness is Corey Cunningham. And I get up there, I swear on the Bible. What do I do while I'm up there? Tell them what happened. Here's what I saw. Joe took out a knife, stabbed Jill. Things didn't go out good, all right? Probably put him away for a little while. I saw a little thing. That's what a witness does. They tell about something they've witnessed, something they've seen. Here's what Jesus says. You guys have experienced me. You guys have put your faith and trust in me. You've experienced a new heart. You've experienced a new life. And guess what? You're task is now. What's your purpose now? It's this, to go and tell others about me. Tell others what I did in your life, to be my witness. And he says, he told these people, start in Jerusalem, start where you are, and then go to Judea and Samaria, go to like the neighboring towns, tell me about Jesus, and then after you told her about Jesus, keep going. Keep going till you fall off the planet. And when you stumble upon another planet, like Mars, if there's people on it, or aliens, tell them about Jesus, okay? This is the mission. Tell as many people as possible the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're supposed to be on mission, that mission, the 1-8 mission, that whether we're here, whether we go there, or wherever we go, we look for people who we can tell about Jesus. Amen. That's what I want you to get tonight, that we're all gathered here. It's all a good time. Everybody's got their Bibles. Everybody's got their smiles on. There's not a lot of problems here. There's not a lot of persecution here. But what happens when you scatter? What happens tomorrow when you go to school? Are you going to be the type of person that says, you know what? My mission continues. And my mission is this, to tell people that I see about Jesus Christ. Man, that's my mission. That's what my purpose is. So what we're going to do is we're going to meet a guy named Philip. And he's going to be our example of a man who was scattered. He's by himself. He's all alone. He doesn't decide to take up ninja or to start hunting more. But he decides, you know what? I'm going to keep going on mission. I have no idea where the ninja thing come from. But hey, you know, some people, you know, I guess I got my karate outfit last night out of the attic. We put up the tree and my karate outfit was up there. And I'm like, Katie, we got to take this thing down. This does not belong in the attic. So I just want you guys to know, my karate outfit, okay, I got the top, I got the pants, and I've got the belt with my two black stripes around it. It's a white belt, but it's got two black stripes, okay? That means I'm bad, okay? And it is hanging right back there in the closet. So if anyone messes with me, I can go put it on and be right back here, okay? So just food for thought. So the outfit is down, Ninja Corey is back, okay? Just throwing that out there. So, no idea where we are now, but here we are. Meet Philip. Okay, let's look in verse 5, okay? Look with me in verse 5. It says this, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them Christ. Okay, what was their mission? To go to Jerusalem and then go to Samaria. Guess what? Philip was in Jerusalem sharing his faith. He got scattered. Where does he go? Samaria. He's like, I'm scattered. I don't know where I am. My GPS, my iPhone, my maps is not working. I have no idea where to go. I don't know where my other Christian buddies are. I'm going to Samaria because I remember Jesus saying, go to the next town and tell me about Jesus. I mean, can you imagine? Think about that for a minute, okay? He's a Jew, okay? And he's going to Samaria. And if you don't know anything about Samaria, okay, Samaria were people who were Jews who married outsiders, who married Gentiles. So to the Jews, they were called half-breeds. They did not like Samaritans. That's why when Jesus went to the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan woman. That's why it was such a scandal for Jesus to talk to her. Here's Philip, this Jewish guy who goes to Samaria. I mean, I can just imagine he's walking into this place knowing that, man, he's got so much prejudice towards these people. They've got so much prejudice towards him, but he says, you know what? I remember the mission. I'm supposed to tell these people about Jesus. So he goes into this town probably thinking, man, they're going to whoop me. Like, this is not going to go good for me. I'm by myself. I'm a Jew. They don't like us, but I'm going to go in because that's what Jesus told me to do. And he goes in there, tells them about Jesus, and you have this revival take place. I want you to read that when you get home. There's this magician that gets saved. It's really cool. You need to read that. So he goes to Samaria. People get saved. And then we're going to see him keep marching through the purpose, okay? Go to Jerusalem. Go to Samaria. And now, what we're going to read is he's going to meet a guy from the ends of the earth, a place called Ethiopia, literally the end of the earth. If you have your Bibles, look with me in verse 26, and now you can stand out of reverence for the word of God because we're going to read a portion of scripture, and this is what we're going to look at tonight. This is Philip's example of how we are to go when we're scattered. In verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go towards the south to a road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this, like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I asked, does the prophet say this about, himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth. It's important. And beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. You guys may be seated. So here we have Philip. He's still on mission. He's thinking, I've got to go. I've already shared the gospel in Jerusalem. I've shared it in Samaria. What's left? The ends of the earth. All right, let's do this. I mean, this is like cowboy on mission here. He's like, all right, I'm going to the ends of the earth. Forrest Gump. Let's just take off running to hit the ocean. Let's go. You know, so he's taking off. He's going. And it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him and commanded him to go down to Gaza. Now, think about this for a moment, okay? Just put yourself in his shoes for a minute, okay? You wake up tomorrow morning. It's early. You get up. It's like 7:30. You know you're about to leave. You're all dressed. Get in front of the mirror, and you're brushing your teeth, right? You're like, what's today? I have to go to school. I thought it was going to snow, but it didn't. I'm so mad. I didn't do my homework. I'm in trouble. So you're doing this, and you lean over, like, you spit. You raise back up, and you look, and in the mirror, there's an angel standing behind you. Imagine if that happens, okay? Now, an angel, in case you don't know, are not the little cute people that they put on little cards, you know, like, oh, that fly around. Like, when you see in the Bible when angels appear, people fall down and are scared. Like, they're afraid that they're going to kill them. So angels in the Bible are big dudes, dudes that can kill people like me, okay? So here you are, you brush your teeth, you look up, you see an angel of the Lord, and you turn around and he says, listen, go downstairs, walk out your front door, and turn left and start walking down the road. Now, okay, picture yourself. What are you going to do? Go downstairs, walk out the door, and turn left. Ronnie, it's an angel. It's like, I know why Philip went here, okay? It's not that hard to put the pieces together. It's like you go down, your mom's like, where are you going? Don't walk out that door. I don't care what you say. You've got a belt. He's got lasers with fire, you know. Things can go bad. I'm leaving. There's an angel. Go talk to him. His name's Gabriel. See ya. So you take off. You go. You're walking down the road. And this is what Philip finds himself. He's walking down the road. And he's like, okay, I'm a little freaked out. But I'm going. I'm on mission. I'm walking down this road. I have no idea what's going on. And then you find yourself in a desert place, okay? It's a desert. You're like, oh, this is bad. It's hot, desert heat. You're like, why in the world am I out here? Oh, yeah, an angel told me to go, so I'm going to keep going. And then all of a sudden, okay, not an angel this time, but the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and tells you, hey, that chariot up there, start running. You need to catch that because that's who I want you to talk to. So, again, angel told you to come this far. Here you are, and now God appears to you and says, go, catch that chariot. Now, second decision, what are you going to do now? Start running. It's like, okay, tie my shoes up, let's go, you know. So here you got Philip. He's just chugging. He's running. Probably by the time he gets there, he's out of breath. He's like, hey, dude, what's up? You know, when you're tired and you try to, like, make people think you're not tired. Like, I used to run with my headphones in, and people would call my cell phone, and I'd answer and be like, hello. You know, it's like you can't really talk very good when you're out of breath, but I would try to act like I wasn't running, and they're like, what are you doing? Nothing. What's up? Okay, I'm running. What do you need? I'm going to die. Call you back. You know, it's just like it doesn't work out when you try to do that. But here, Philip, he's running, and he comes up to this guy that he knows I'm supposed to talk to. He's probably a little nervous. He's a little freaked out. Here's an Ethiopian guy. Okay, if you got the Samaritan was bad, there's an Ethiopian, a complete Gentile. Okay, Philip is a Jew. Jews don't get along with Gentiles, but he knows God wants me to come tell this guy about Jesus. And he walks up to the guy thinking, how in the world am I going to get to this guy? Like, what kind of bridge diagram can I use? This guy's way out there. And he walks up to the guy, and what's he doing? He's reading the Bible. That's awesome. Like, if God moves upon your heart to go tell someone about Jesus, and when you walk over to him, they're reading the Bible, man, that's a lob softball. Like, you ever played softball? You know, when you get a lob pitch, you're like, oh, yeah, here we go. Boom! I mean, that's over the fence home run. No question. The guy's like, not some atheist way out here. He's like, oh, you want to tell me about Jesus? Oh, yeah. What does this verse mean? The guy's reading the Bible. I mean, how hard is it going to be for Philip? He's like, hey, I can do this. So the guy, he gets there. The guy's reading the Bible. And he basically, Philip says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy's like, I have no clue. There's sheep, there's shears, there's a slaughter. No clue. Is this about the prophet? Is this about somebody else? And then Philip says, let me tell you. Let me tell you about who this is about. This is about Jesus Christ. And it's amazing what the guy said to Philip. This Ethiopian guy, this complete stranger to Christianity. He says, you know what? I don't understand this. And how can I unless I have a guide? He tells that to Philip. He says, I can't understand the things of God unless someone helps me, unless I have a guide. So you know what God allows Philip to do? Run up beside this guy on a chariot and be his guide, to walk him through the scripture, to show him who Jesus is. And we'll take a little pause in the story. And I want to think about how significant that is. Think about it. This Ethiopian says, you know what? I can't know about Jesus. I can't know about God unless I have some guy, unless I have somebody to help me in this. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Because you know what? That is exactly where you come in. There are so many of your friends who have a lot of bits and pieces about Christianity. They have lots of bits and pieces about Jesus, about religion, about the world, about purpose, all these different things. But you know what? They're really like this guy. They're clueless. They're thinking, the Bible, that's a big book. I don't have time to read it all over my Christmas break. And to be honest, I don't even know where to start. So you know what? I need a guide. And you know what you can be? For your friends who don't know Jesus, you can be like Philip. You can walk alongside them and help them out. You can be their guide to show them who Jesus is. And that's what Philip did. He was a guide to this person. And I'm just going to probably warn you that when you think about doing this tomorrow, because here's what Philip did. He was first. Man, he was in tune with God. He was led by the Spirit. Okay, so for you, maybe pray, ask God, who do you want me to share with? And when he sort of impresses on your heart, man, that person right there. Odds are when you go up to them, they're not going to be reading the Bible. If they are, that's great. That's going to be a win-win situation. But a lot of times they're not. But you know what? You can still be a guide to them. You can come alongside them. And you can listen to them. And you can hear clues that let you into their life. Man, they're saying something, things like, man, you know what? Man, my parents, man, things at home are terrible. You know, my life, it's miserable. Man, I'm depressed. Look, man, I've started cutting myself again. Man, I'm thinking about suicide. Man, life is tough. I'm stressed. Man, I'm not good enough. I'm not the best basketball player that my dad wants to be. Man, I just don't fit in anywhere. Man, I got drunk last night, but you know what? It didn't really help. I feel worse now. I'm hungover. Man, I've got this boyfriend, but you know what? Man, I started sleeping with him thinking that would answer the problems, but man, now I'm just worse off. I feel worse about myself, and our relationship is terrible now, and he just dumped me, and I just feel like I'm useless now. Man, when you come alongside your friends and you start hearing them tell you things like that, man, that's such a clue into their life that they're starting to hit bottom. And you know what? The good thing about hitting rock bottom, I know you're thinking, there's not anything good about hitting the bottom. But there is a lot of times. Because you know what? At the bottom, a lot of times we come to the end of ourselves. And we start realizing, you know what? No matter how popular I am, no matter how much money I have, no matter how many songs I listen to, no matter how many books I read, no matter how much knowledge I get, guess what? I'm not happy. Man, life is not what it's cracked up to be. I'm depressed. Everything's wrong. You know what, man, when you hear those things, when people hit rock bottom, that's a perfect opportunity for you to be there for them and say, you know what, I've been there. Man, a couple of years ago, I was right there. I hit rock bottom exactly where you are. And you know what? When I was at the bottom, guess who came to my rescue? Jesus Christ. He came to my rescue, and he rescued me. And now, even though I was at the bottom, I had no purpose. I thought life was meaningless. I was getting ready to end my life at times. You know what? I'm different now. He saved me. He gave me a new life. I understood the gospel that Jesus Christ, he died in my place for my sins. And that now that I put my faith and trust in him, guess what? He cleansed me. And he's cleansing me still from all of my sin. He's given me a purpose for life. And that is to live for his honor and glory. And to make disciples of all nations so that they too can live a life that glorifies him. You see, you can come alongside your friends. And you can listen to their needs. You can listen to their hurts. And guess what? You have an answer to their problems. And that answer is Jesus Christ. You have the gospel, and that is what they so desperately need to hear. So here you have Philip. He comes alongside this guy, tells him the gospel, and guess what happens? And this guy accepts Christ. So much that he says, hey, there's some water. Stop. Let's go right now. I want to show the whole world, everybody on this road, traffic block, everybody look. I am a sinner, but I put my faith and trust in Christ. Now I'm going to go into the water saying that old sinner is dead and a saint has been risen and I'm a new person now and I'm going to live on mission for Christ. And it said that he went away rejoicing. I mean, this guy was exceedingly happy. I mean, here you have this Ethiopian who is reading his Bible, all of a sudden finds the person who the Bible is written about, Jesus Christ. Now he gets back in his chariot. And man, this might have been like the first Lecrae. He's like penning words. He's like, man, I'm going to write this down. This is going to be good. I'm going to take it back to my brothers in Ethiopia. This is going to be good stuff. Because if you notice who this guy was, he was a big shot, right? He was a high official. He was in charge of all the queen's money. It's a big dude. So when he went back to his hometown, guess what? He had a lot of connections. And I did a little research, and the early church fathers testify that this guy from Ethiopia went back to Ethiopia, and you know what he did? He shared his faith with everyone. And a lot of people in Ethiopia came to know the gospel of Jesus Christ because of one person. Philip goes and meets this guy, shares the gospel with him, and guess what happens? This guy goes back and starts becoming a man who's on mission. And he starts making disciples who make disciples. I mean, do you guys get it? Now, we've been doing a whole semester on Act Radical. And we're probably going to do a whole nother semester as we keep marching through this book because I want to keep putting on display, hey, here's people who actually did it. Here's people who actually lived it out. They actually lived on mission and did this thing. And look at Philip. He's a guy who was serving tables and bread. He got scattered all by himself. And he says, you know what? I can do this. Hey, do you know Jesus? Let me tell you about him. Kept living on mission, and God used him to take the gospel to the Samaritans and to the ends of the earth. You know, this is the first time in the book of Acts that the gospel has been available to someone other than Jews. Did you know that? Everyone so far that's been saved has been a Jew. And that's a no-brainer, right? Jews are God's special people. But now guess what? The gospel is going to the Samaritans and the gospel going to the Gentiles. And you know what? I rejoice in that. You know why? Because I'm a Gentile. I'm a person who was far off, who had no connections with God's people. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, he has brought me near. And that's the good news of the gospel. There are people at your school who are so far off from God. But you know what? You can be a guy that comes alongside them, helps them, walks them through their life, and shows them Jesus Christ so that they can be brought near through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to have just a few moments. We're going to do another song as I'm going to have Cody come back up here. And he's going to play one more. And I just want you guys to think about this. Here we are. We're at Impact. Everything's good. We just heard a sermon. We're kind of energized. But what happens when the music stops? What happens when you open that door and you leave? And all of a sudden it's, hey, where do we want to go grab ice cream at? Or what do we do after this? Or what do we do at school tomorrow? Because that's when it matters. And that's when the decision is going to be, okay, am I going to be on mission? Hey, guys, do you realize we're 6 days in to 2010? We're 6 days in to a brand new year. I want you to think about this. How many of you guys, when you look back over these last 6 days, think about this whole year, 6 days, think about it. How much have you done that is going to matter for eternity? Probably be embarrassing if we all answered that question. You're 6 days in. Let's say you've wasted 6 days. You know what? You've got the whole rest of a year. So what I want you to do now, as Cody plays, we're going to have another song of worship. And if you want to stand up and sing right off the bat, that's great. If you just want to spend some time in prayer to God and say, you know what, I've wasted 6 days, they're done. I don't want to waste any more. This next week, I want to do things that matter for eternity. I want to get back on mission for Jesus Christ and make disciples who make disciples. So as Cody begins to play, and as I get done praying, I want you to spend some time in prayer and in worship to God. And think about, am I on mission? And if not, how can I right now commit to God to say, you know what? I want to be on mission for Christ in 2010. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. God, I pray that we would be like Philip, that when we leave this place, when we scatter, guess what? We're still on mission. Because there's so many of our friends who don't know Jesus Christ. I pray that you would help us impress upon our hearts lost friends that we need to share with. And God, help us to be bold and to share with that friend. It's in your name we pray. Amen.